painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On today's Artbeat, we talk to Joni Finnegan, a Southeast Minnesota artist with a deep appreciation and love of nature. Joni creates plein air paintings that reflect the softer side of our outdoor world. Here's Terry Tenseth with Joni Finnegan on today's Artbeat.
Hi there, my name is Joan Finnegan. I'm an artist living in Southeast Minnesota. I work both in and plein air, meaning I paint outdoors in the elements, and I do studio work as well. Today, you're with me in my home studio. Welcome.
Thanks. Joan, when did you realize you had a talent for art, and was it always painting, or did you go off into other areas?
No, I've been drawing since I was 3 years old, and my older sister came home from school, first grade, and taught me how to do side profiles of people's faces, and I drew on every piece of paper I could find in the house, honest to God, every day. My brothers had paper outs, you know, and newspapers used to come with a blank paper on the top and on the bottom, and I got the blank papers, and I drew, I consumed them every day.
Beautiful. So how did you further yourself as an artist? Did you go to school for it?
When I was always drawing and always doing, yes, I did go to school in some ways, in some respects. When I was in high school, I did the art instruction schools. That's a course that you take. It was a male course that my parents amazingly were able to afford for me, which is because I am number 7 of 8 children in 8 years. So it was, you know, it was really interesting that they did that for me. That was good for me. And then when I graduated from high school to pay for my college education, I really shouldn't be saying this, but I did art projects for art students, other students at the college. Not going to say where I went to college, okay? Anyway, it was a great way to pay for my education. But I don't have a degree in art. And then I quit doing any artwork for a number of years. I started painting when I was in high school. Just whenever I had extra money, I was buying any tools of the trade, anything I could get my hands on, pastels, in markers, and then was happy to get into paints. And oils have always been my first love for paints. And I started with oils when I was in high school. And I did take a break for a number of years, and I went and married and had 2 daughters, and then ran a business where I started painting again when I was running my business. I had a gallery for 18 years. And then I started back into watercolor. I did watercolor when I was in school and some of my education. And I really do enjoy watercolors, and I still dabble in watercolors now quite a bit, but mostly oils. Life is a journey for all of us, but as an artist, we journey through different phases of our art. And watercolor and oils have been back and forth for me, and right now, I'm into oils.
What is it about the oil that you like?
I like the texture and the maneuverability of oils. And I also like the fact that when you lay down a color on your painting, that's the color it's going to be when it dries. With watercolor, when you lay down a color, it lightens as it dries, about 20 to 25%. And with acrylic, it darkens as it dries. So what I like is this, it's there, and I also have the ability to do layers over layers over layers with my oil paints. So there's just something about the textural effect. And I like working in different surfaces, and that makes a difference as well.
You have done some studies with other artists, though, or
yes,
mentoring,
I have.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you talk
absolutely.
About that a little bit?
Sure. Through the years with watercolor, I studied with Mike Capser for a number of years, and he's a watercolor artist from Montana. Does some oils, too, but it was watercolor I studied with him, and that's why I got back into watercolor. And then I took a break for a few years and retired from my gallery over in Austin where we lived, and then we moved over here, and for 3 years we were hands-on building our house. And I just didn't do any art at all. And then about 7 years ago I decided that it was time to get my feet back on the ground and really reinvent myself as an artist. So I started organizing workshops and classes as a volunteer for what was then the Cornucopia Art Center in Lanesboro, Minnesota. It's a great great art center in Southeast Minnesota. And so we would host the classes. We invited other artists that were very well-known instructors to come here in my place and teach workshops and classes. So that was really nice for me because I got to partake in all of that. So I did, and I've studied in particular with Mark Hansen at length, and Ken DeWard, and Charlotte Laxon, and whenever I could find a workshop. But I keep finding myself going back to Mark Hansen for that type of thing. And then, of course, the journey also includes other artists that are not teachers, but you learn from everybody that you connect with in some ways. They make you grow, they force you to grow, and it's really neat. It's a neat, neat way to live your life.
Now, you've taught, too.
Oh, yes. I've taught a number of classes through the years. Yes.
So what have you learned from your students?
I think what I've learned from my students is that it makes me think about my process to instruct them. It also makes me keep in mind, there are some basic rules that you, for the different kinds of things that you're doing. I don't want to say rules, but there are guidelines and formations that I use, you know, for value studies and how to look at things. And when you teach, you learn tenfold. There's no doubt. I learned so much from my students about just setting up, ideas, all kinds of things.
During the time you were teaching, were you painting for yourself too?
A little bit, but not as much. About 3 years ago, I really did quit teaching. I was doing workshops. I was doing classes, a number of classes. And when I had my gallery, I did classes 3 days a week. I taught classes. So I did a lot of teaching. And when I started doing my new body of work over here, reinventing myself, I was taking workshops from other people. And I felt like I was hitting a wall. You know, you hit the ceiling, I guess. And I wasn't going anywhere. And so I was in the winter months, you know, when you got a little bit of time, and I'm reading some journals, and I read this article about if you really want to expand your work and you really want to grow, remember the 10,000 hour thing?
Mm-hmm.
Said do 50 paintings an hour or less. Force yourself to do 50 paintings. Each one of them is an hour in time or less, and then be done with it and move on to the next one, the next one, the next one. And this is for doing plein air work, working outdoors, which is really challenging because everything's moving. The light is changing and the earth is moving, and it's a real challenge. So I thought, all right, I'm going to do this. So I laid out 50 palettes, and I've got them all prepped and ready to go. And I started working, and I was into the number 40s. And Mark Hansen was back here to do a workshop, and he said, boy, I'm seeing some progress in your work. And I said, thanks. And I started telling him about my, you know, challenge, and he goes, do 100. If you really want to see change, do 100. I'm thinking, how could I ever do 100 paintings? Well, it didn't take me long to do 100 paintings. What they wanted you to do was do a painting a day. And some days I would do 3 paintings. That was my max. And then I would be worn out after 3 because it's pretty intense when you're doing that. And then there would be days where I couldn't do any at all. And sometimes there would be a few weeks. But I managed to do it. And Mark was right. The 100 paintings turned the corner for me. I felt like I broke through that ceiling, and I was able to really find my inner brush voice. And that's made a big, big difference for me. And now all of a sudden, wow, it's just like I was ready. Then after that, I felt like I was ready to be out there with my art, because when I hadn't painted for a number of years and I got back into it, I knew that I needed to, as I said earlier, reinvent myself as an artist, and I needed to have a complete body of work that was consistent. And I feel like I'm there now.
Great. Now, you're talking about painting in plein air.
And studio as well.
And in studio. Mm-hmm. And then online, I noticed you call yourself a fair weather artist.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So what's happening during those winter months for you?
Well, when I'm outdoors doing my plein air work, I'm always photographing and sketching too. I have tons of sketch journals that I take with me wherever I go. And even when I stand outside outdoors to do a painting, I have these little windows, empty windows that I've drawn in, and I force myself to do sketches. Sometimes it's 1 or 2 or 3, but they have to be quick sketches, so I catch the essence of the painting I'm going to do. And I'm not worried about the details. It's whatever moves me. When I'm selecting a place, there's an emotional connection with what I'm going to paint. that draws me to that particular place or time. And I do a quick sketch of it till I get the composition I want, and then I go and I move into my painting when I'm doing my painting. So that part's important too. So I also photograph my site when I'm doing my plein air painting. I usually photograph it before I start my painting, and I photograph it when I'm done, because sometimes things have changed tremendously
right.
in that time. And I don't do all my paintings in an hour or less outdoors anymore. It's an hour is my time frame for getting the colors right and movement right. But it really, it takes, even for a fast, small painting, it takes 2 or 3 hours to really get a good painting. So oftentimes I will do the finishing work in my studio if the elements aren't right, or from my reference photographs. And then in the winter months, I have all these wonderful reference photographs that I have loaded on my computer, and I just kind of scroll through them. As a matter of fact, on my screensaver, it scrolls my reference photographs. And some days, it's like this a particular place that you drive by every day. And one day, that place just sings to me and says, whoa, this is a perfect painting. And every other day, it's just there. It's just an ordinary thing that I drive by. And it's the same thing with my reference photographs. Sometimes one particular photograph will go, this needs to be on canvas. And I don't know why it hits me that way, or I just see it in a different light. Then I use my plein air sketches and paintings as references for colors, if I need a color reference, when I'm doing my studio work as well. So I have boxes and boxes of plein air paintings and then, you know, finished works. You know, now I have quite a body of work, and I feel like I've done my 10,000 hours so that I'm not always reaching so far anymore. There's so much of it that comes naturally now with time.
What are some of the challenges you've had to address in your painting?
Challenges I've had to address in my painting is pushing myself to do something I'm not comfortable with. That's the biggest thing. You know, like I started out drawing portraits of people, but when it comes to painting portraits, I used to do them. I did them in high school and that kind of thing, but I quit. And I concentrated on landscapes for a long time, and then incorporating people into landscapes, that was a push for me. And I mean, of course, it was a natural for me. It was fun. And then, you know, buildings and structures and things like that is architecturally quite a challenge. And it's those things. Pushing yourself to the next level, taking yourself, and that I'm constantly doing that. I'm going, all right, this is too easy now. It's time to move on to something else. And yet I do find that there are certain things that sell better than others. You know, there are some. Truth is, if I'm painting my paintings to sell, that's not a good thing. As an artist, it's important to paint what's from inside, and someone will love it out there. Somebody will like it, and I've been fortunate enough to have that happen. But it's easy to also see what does sell. You know, there are certain things that sell better than others, like portraits. You know, portraits are a real personal thing,
right.
So they're usually just commission work. And I love doing them. I love doing portraits of my grandchildren, and especially portraits of my grandchildren, because they're, again, you know, that's that emotional connection for me. But the land speaks to me. The earth speaks to me. And so it's real easy for me to do portraits of the landscape in some ways.
A lot of it, and with your play on light, reminds me of the Hudson River School, a lot of that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, when you take workshops from people, you're there to learn from them. And so you listen to what they have to say, and you try the things that they're recommending, and you use the colors they're recommending. And I love that, because that's also helped me a lot, pushed me. I've always been a colorist. And in my journey in the last 7 years, what I found myself doing was trying to be a realist, because a lot of the people that I was painting with were realists, and using, you know, more muted colors and that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, it was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I was painting with a friend, another artist, and she said, you know, you just have to admit you're a colorist, because you really like color. And I said, I was thinking about that afterward, and I'm going, oh, really? You know, because I was trying so hard to be muted with my tones and this kind of thing. And I was thinking about that for a couple weeks afterward, and I thought, you know, she's right. I am a colorist, and that really is who I am. And then I found myself again changing directions, same subject matter, but adding more color and more life into my paintings. And suddenly I really feel like my paintings are just singing now. You know, the realism is fine, it's good, but, and these are still realism, but there's still, I think there's more voice to my paintings now.
Beautiful. So you get to jury competitions from time to time.
Yes,
right?
I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have to judge your own peers? What's the whole process like?
I've never had, well, actually, yes, I have had to judge my own peers. What you do is, that's when you want criteria. You go, okay, if I'm judging, give me the boundaries. And if, and you're never, you usually don't judge alone. You're judging with someone else. So you establish that beforehand, and you have to emotionally remove yourself from it and say, here's the criteria, and does it meet this and this and this? And that's what it's all about.
Do you learn from those experiences when you go and see other people are juroring? Like, what do you take away from it yourself?
I always think it's an honor to be asked to jury, because, I mean, there's a certain respect that goes with that. So I think that's it more than anything. I know, you know, it's so much fun to see other artists on their journey and what they're doing. It's pretty rewarding.
Excellent. Has social media changed the way you work at all? You know, I mean, there's Facebook now. There's all these blogs. You have a website, right?
I have my own website, yeah. And I'm on the Minnesota website, and I have the Minnesota Daily Painters website and blog, and I have a blog on my website, and it's just, how do I say this? It is so much effort for me to do that stuff. I have to tell you, it's hard, but it's necessary, and it's such an amazing avenue for us as artists. But I really feel like as an artist, a computer is counterintuitive. We're supposed to be creative with it, but it's really hard for me. I feel like I'm just locked in this little box in front of my computer screen. And when I'm doing my art, I'm all over the place, you know, and my art is more than just painting on canvas. I'm a fabulous cook, even though I can say that myself, it's all about the creativity. So the computer seems a little constraining for me. I have a love-hate relationship with my computer, okay? Let's face it.
That's okay.
But it's necessary. It's so, and I'm amazed at the people I'm able to connect with and the people that connect with me because of my website and my Facebook and that kind of thing. So, and I thank goodness for my adult children because they help me through a lot of that.
What is the purpose as an artist in your community, and if you look at it in whole as in society, mm-hmm. what do you think that role is?
What do you mean? In what can you mean
in
local community?
Local community, yeah.
The purpose of an artist?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
because some say it's about sustainability and building bridges for effective communication through art. I don't know if you've noticed that, because you're kind of out here a little bit.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As an artist, you live, I mean, because I live in the country, but even if I lived in town, that'd be pretty remote, because as an artist, to be an artist, to really be a good artist, you have to have hours and hours and hours of alone time. So when I do reach out, it's pretty effective for me, and it's deliberate. That when I reach out and open, you know, and connect with other people, and I don't know about the building the bridges.
Do you think in society and whole, what's the artist's role?
To enrich our lives. Art evokes emotion, for sure. It should evoke emotion, whether it's a memory or joy or something like that, and I really think that's important. We're pretty busy in our lives, and sometimes we remove ourselves from some of those emotions, and hopefully my art will do that for those who view it.
Great. What would you recommend to someone who's starting or wants to kind of go the path you did?
Oh, do it. Don't let anything else get in your way. If you really have that burning in your belly, follow your dream and reach out to other artists, because other artists, there's a great support team out there with other artists. Even though we all do work solo, that's really vital, I think. But do it, and don't think about it, do it.
Is being a good artist more about experience, talent, or education, or all three?
Experience.
You put it up, experience. Okay.
Yep, I would put it with experience. Yeah, there are some great, of course, support websites, you know, talking about the internet, you know, and that I support websites and blogs that I get daily, and the things that I read on those, they're awesome for me to talk about the internet and its use. It's like sitting in a classroom every day in some way, and I'm so thankful for those sites. But just this last week, I was reading another one where they're talking about that very thing, and I mean, you know, an education is fine, but it doesn't make you a good artist.
Right. Can't force it.
No, nope, can't force it. It's either there. And I've always said to my students, I can teach you the mechanics of painting, but you have to take it beyond that. You have to make that become a part of you and make it the painting sing. All I can do is say, you do this, you know, this and this and this, but the rest of it, you have to do.
Beautiful. All right, cool. Thanks.
Thanks to Joni Finnegan for joining us on today's Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.